Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today.
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dr. April Jasper Show, and I'm joined by one of my very first instructors in school. Is it okay to say that?
Yes.
You don't care?
Yeah, that's fine.
Dr. John McSully. And what I love about you, John, is that not only did you teach me so much about eyeballs and optometry, but life. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
So what I want to do first is tell everybody about you, where do you practice, and how did we get to know each other?
Okay. That goes back, and we don't have to actually enumerate the years, but it's several years. You were a student, came from Nova, and you were you left an impression on everyone, much like you do now, but positive energy and a dedication to doing your best for each individual person. And that was, I think, how you're remembered even to this day. And I think that's kind of come through. So those kind of qualities left, and I think anyone that's worked with you would say the same thing. So,
John, thank you. But I want you to tell them about you, because the only reason I am that person today, and I truly, I believe it, is because of the impression and the impact that you and others like you have been left on my life and the example you've been to me.
Well, thanks.
And so how did you get started? Why even optometry for you?
Okay, we can go way back to that. So I was 9 years old and not doing great in school. Back in the day, we used to have to copy our math off the board and then do the tests. And I got a lot of wrong answers. And somebody realized, it might have been one of the nuns, or I'm not really sure how it all played out, but somebody realized that I was actually doing the math correctly, but I started out with the wrong number. So I get an eye exam.
Oh, my goodness.
And changed my world and never realized what I was missing. Okay, so at 9 years old, you put glasses on, you can see individual leaves on a tree. You can see, you know, little cracks in the ceiling, little things that you didn't even know you were missing. And all of a sudden, I could enjoy things a little bit differently. I used to put them on and walk around. And, you know, it's funny because I'll get to who my optometrist was in just a minute. But my first pair of glasses, my father picked them out for me. And his quote was, it made me look like Barry Goldwater. So that's what I had as my first pair of glasses, age 9. Anyway, so
nice.
crew cut and Barry Goldwater glasses. So anyway, they helped me see, and the rest was history. And part of the influence on me, and I've had many, many great influences throughout my life. I mean, my parents, my brothers and sisters, my friends. One of the people who had a very positive impression on me was my optometrist, and his name was Earl Kelly. And so Dr. Kelly was kind of the optometrist in our area. Kind man. I used to see him at church. I'd see him. He had 3 beautiful daughters, and he had a nice life, very calm. And he had this sort of just different way about him, and he was pretty kind. And I know that he probably gave my parents a break on my glasses. And
yeah.
I just thought, wouldn't it be great to have that life, be able to help people, have that kind of an impact? And if you need to help somebody out, you could do it. Well, I got to know Dr. Kelly very well over the years. Not only was he my optometrist until I moved away, but I actually married his daughter. So Colleen, his oldest daughter, was my wife. And I get to know the family very well, and he was every bit as good a person as I expected. But I guess for those optometrists that are out there, really anybody, you never know the impact you're going to have on somebody at a young age. I thought of different things over the years. I thought about going into law enforcement and construction.
Right.
One time I thought about the priesthood and all this other stuff. I kept coming back to optometry and the impact it had. And sometimes you just look back and you say, I was probably at the right place at the right time. And in spite of myself, I ended up on a career path.
Wow.
Moved to Florida, back to finish college in New England, came back, went to optometry school in Boston, went to Florida to do a postgraduate residency, and just the pathway started that way.
So your residency was at Bascom Palmer?
No, we didn't have there wasn't an optometry residency then.
Oh.
No. Back when I started, there were just staff optometrists. I had done residency, and a couple of my mentors, you know, Steve Holbrook was one, Albert Aran, they kind of showed me, one was an ophthalmologist, one was an optometrist, and they showed me how well we could work together, and I aspired to be as good as they were. And then I had joined a group practice. It was sort of an HMO carve out, and that was okay. And I get a call from Dino Pappas and said, you know, you're pretty highly recommended. We really need somebody. Would you consider? So as it turned out, I started there and thought it'd be a year or two, and then moved somewhere else. And here it is, 32 years later, I'm still there. So
you had just gotten there when I was there.
I started in 92.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So if you were, you probably were our second group of students that came through.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Now we obviously we've told everybody how old we are. Not that I care. I think it's amazing to look back at the journey we've been on. And you never expected you'd be in the glaucoma clinic?
No.
How did that happen to come about?
A few different things. So I had worked pretty closely with Rich Parrish and a little bit with Don Budenz, and there was an optometrist named Rick Davis who had been working very closely in the glaucoma service, and Rick took a very good opportunity out in Idaho, and when he left, that sort of his role needed to be filled, and I met with the group and sat down, and I hadn't yet met Dr. Anderson, and we sat down and we talked, and immediately he was someone I wanted to learn from, spend time with, not just for what he knew, how he approached problems, but the way he carried himself as a gentleman. And I think that the group of people that I was influenced by in that decision were people that I still admire quite a bit. Paul Pomberg being one, Rich Parrish, and along the way you get to meet certain people. You know, you meet your fellows that come in, and you end up building bridges with people early in their career, and years later, Steve Getty being one of them, years later you have a good working relationship and a professional and good friendship. So I was also lucky to work with some really good optometrists along the way, and some have come and gone. You know that we've, you know, Bascom Palmer has been a place that has really developed a lot of optometrists over many years.
Yes.
And I think I've always put their best foot forward for patients, for the profession, I think that the group that has been there with me and I've shared time with has always been a group of people that I've always been happy to be affiliated with.
Yeah.
Clearly, of everybody, I would say, I don't know how to say this, not the sharpest tool in the drawer, but I've been fortunate to work with people that are much more talented than me, and I've learned from them, and I've been inspired by them to do better. And you know Mark Dunbar very well, and he's been someone, Michelle Caputo, another one, Terry Rowe. I mean, I can go through the whole list of people that there now that people that were students and residents that I watched their growth, and I think, you know, they're incredible what they've done. I have nothing but respect for what they've done. So to get back to your question, and it's not that I want to hear my own voice, it's just that to get back to my question, don't know what. I could not duplicate the path.
Right.
It just kind of went and brought me where I am. And in spite of myself, you know, things are really, I look back and it's like I've had a good experience. Not every day's, you know, we're in Orlando, not every day's Disney World, right?
Right.
But I've had a good experience, and mostly it's been because of the people that I've worked with and the patients that have entrusted me to take care of them.
Yeah.
That's been also a little bit of motivation.
We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft lid scrub eyelid cleansers essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. That's a lesson, though. I mean, we tell everybody on the podcast that this is about inspiring and educating. And so what you just said, the path is not one you would have mapped out for yourself, because first of all, some of those steps you took, nobody had ever taken before. So how could you create a path that didn't exist? So that's one thing. But the other is that you paved your own way and also worked with other people that helped to pull you along on that journey. So what, go back to that for a second, and the people that are listening that are just getting started, or someone that isn't in the position you've been, that you're in today, sometimes we make it sound like it's all been a beautiful moment. Every moment has been easy and smooth. You did say it's not all Disney World, so I get that. But what have you pulled from it? What life lessons would you be able to share with somebody to say, I didn't know the path that I was going to take, but I'm glad I'm here and I'm glad I did it. What did you do to help encourage your, that way, you know?
I think what I did and what advice I would give might not be the same thing.
That's okay.
What I did, I sort of Forrest Gumped it.
Tell us more.
I kind of fell into things just went well. And, you know, the saying, you know, good fortune favors the prepared. And you got to be ready for opportunity. And you got to be able to make the investment and do the work and do it. I guess that's right. But some of it's just timing.
Right.
And what I would say to people that were starting is, first of all, believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Bet on yourself. If it's that chance to go into private practice, do it. If it's the chance, and don't sell out for the dollar.
Right.
Because control your destiny more. I think it'll be more rewarding, and I think it's doable. But you sometimes can't see it. When you can't see it, it's hard to imagine yourself in that role. You have to almost trust the process, right? You have to trust, believe in what you're going to do, whether it's whatever it is. And that's true in relationships, too. I mean, sometimes you have to trust and lean in. And that's sometimes we don't learn that till retrospect sometimes. What I would probably say, and this is what I've tried to tell my kids, is, you know, try to find something that you can use your God-given opportunities in life.
Yeah,
to make a positive impact, no matter what realm, whatever you're doing. And I think the rest of it, it's not going to be perfect. It won't always be easy, but a lot of other things will take care of themselves.
Right.
I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. If you know that you're doing something that brings value to other people and you're using the gifts that you've been given to do that, at least you feel better at the end of the day. The days aren't going to be perfect. I mean, that's the one thing, as I thought about how we were going to sit down and talk together. And I thought about the fact that it's been 30 something years since we worked together. A lot has happened.
Yeah.
A lot has happened. Yeah. We've connected now and again throughout that time. I've watched you from a distance and respect you tremendously. You've paved a way in the world of glaucoma that not, I would say, any optometrist has. There's some that are very much
there. But
you've been very important to me in watching your journey. Yet I also know you personally, so I know the path hasn't always been easy.
Yep.
And so you have a big family. You've got a lot of siblings. How many?
Nine.
And your kids, how many?
Five.
So, John, your Thanksgiving was how many people?
This year we had about 60 altogether.
And that's a small group, right?
Yeah. Not everybody made it, so, but it was good.
And you've got family members that are in all different professions.
Yes.
And here you ended up in this one. So as you look at your life and how things have been and gone, what do you want to still accomplish? Let's talk about that. What are your dreams?
I don't know my dreams anymore. That's a good question, and one I kind of try not to think about too much.
You will now, because I'm going to have you go home and do it.
Yeah, I have to think about what my dreams are. And the dreams are probably different than they were years ago.
That's okay, too.
I guess I guess you always look for peace of mind.
Yes.
And that can be elusive. And you can find it temporarily, but that's what keeps you going, right? That keeps you,
right.
It keeps you and not get complacent.
Yeah.
I would like to, I mean, my kids are like the most important thing. You know, I said my wife's been the privilege of my life. The kids have been my honor of my life.
Yes.
So I guess I'd like to still be present for them. And they need me less and less every day. But
you think they need you less and less.
Well,
but
maybe. But I guess that's it, right? Because you do a good job. They're independent. They're
right.
They think for themselves. Yeah. They have character. They do that. And that's a good thing. But I would still like to be present for them at whatever stage of life they're in. And if I did that, then I guess, that would be my goal. And beyond that, professionally, I'd much rather help a colleague grow at this point.
Wow.
Less interested in what you know, it's always nice to get a name on a paper, always nice to do a lecture, and thank you, you invited me to speak recently, and it's just, it's an honor to, when someone reaches out and do that, but I'd much rather pull somebody else along at this point if I could do that. And
you do it every day. Yeah, that's what you guys did with all of us, and everyone that was there with me, and I watch us all come through the ranks and work with you. And I don't know. I mean, I can never tell anybody how much you can't really put into words how much you learn with every patient you see with a colleague like you that has the knowledge base and is willing to teach. So I will never forget you. I'd see a patient and you'd come in and see the patient after, or sometimes with, if I had a question, and you'd point out things that I totally didn't see. And one time is all it takes for you to help us to see something we didn't see, and then we'll never not see it again.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
I hope that was positive. I hope I've had that kind of an impact. I don't, I guess you tend to think of the things that you wish you'd done better or could have done better, and not necessarily fall back and say, yeah, I did a really good job.
Well, today you're going to fall back and say you did a real good job.
No, thank you. Thank you.
So, John, as we close, think about this for a minute with me. Let's say, and I want to be careful with this, because I don't believe that we should go back and say, I would have done it different necessarily, because the path we were on is the path that got us to where we are today. We wouldn't be who we are had we not gone down that path. But for your kids, let's say it's one of your children and they said, Dad, look back 30 years. What is something you might have done different? Or if you don't want to go that route, then take an optometry student who would say to you, John, looking back at your last 30 years, what's something I, as a new optometrist, should be thinking about and do different? You take either route or both.
Keep perspective. Remember what's important. Don't let don't let the tail wag the dog, right? Don't let the job or whatever else, and at some point let your personality be your personality, and that's going to reflect in your patients and reflect in your colleagues and everything. So I would say keep perspective. Remember what's important. In some extent, what we do is part of who we are, but it's also what we do, and it's not the only part of who we are. We have another dimension, right? We've got families, we've got friends, we've got, church life, we've got, like, we might teach, we might coach, we might do any other things, and those things are all important, and they kind of come to what we are. So don't let it overwhelm you. And I would say probably believe in yourself.
Yes.
And that's something that I lacked confidence early on. And times I felt like I was maybe getting in over my head. I always had someone I could go to.
Yep.
And when the communication is good, you can ask a question and they can ask a question. You realize that, okay, this is better. When if you don't accept the question, then that person's not going to ask a question. They don't grow. And frankly, you don't grow. And who loses? Well, everybody loses. The patients lose. The doctors lose. So communication is probably good to maintain as well.
I was the same way. My first day in practice after my residency, after my time with you guys, I start practice and I had an emergency patient coming in that was coming in with a chemical burn. I knew what was coming. And I was terrified because now I'm on my own and I have to do it by myself. And there have been times when I've still just felt like I'm not good enough to do the stuff that I'm doing. And I think that that's not a bad thing necessarily, to be humble and know that there's still a lot more to learn. But I love that you're telling people, don't let that stop you, because you never said no. You still stayed in one of the places where I call it challenging sometimes to be at Bascom, because you're with the smartest people in the world. And you stay there and said, no matter what, I can do this and I'm going to learn from them. And then you brought it and passed it down to all of us. So that's a huge lesson right there, to just keep on stepping in to the next thing. Don't be afraid of the fact that you just don't know as much as the next person out there. That's what you said, right?
You said it maybe more efficiently and eloquently than I did. So, yeah.
John, I think you're amazing. I love having moments to spend with you. You've been such an example to me and to many of us, every one of us that have walked through the clinic with you. And a big thank you to you for that and for being here today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And I think your compliments are generous, but I'll take them. And it's nice to have this, after all the years, have a good professional and personal relationship. So
yes.
I admire you.
Thank you.